Now we're going to start looking at the text for this feast of John the Baptist. The first one is one of the servant songs. Actually, the third one. No, the second one. 42, 49, 50, and 52. And this is 49. And so it goes like this. Hear me, coastlands. Listen, distant peoples. Before birth, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he gave me my name. This is this prophetic figure who is coming. And while I agree with those who don't think that these should be isolated and made as though they were four or five, if you count Isaiah 61, pre-existing poems that were stuck into the Isaiah text, they're Isaiah, Deutero-Isaiah in this case, but they are this mysterious figure, the Messiah, really, this prophet. And this is the second one of these sayings. Okay. Before birth, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he gave me my name. He made my mouth like a sharp-edged sword, concealed me, shielded by his hand. He made me a sharpened arrow. In his quiver, he hid me. In other words, this one is a prophet. He has the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, and he's going to cut through the people, and it is going to call many, because prophecy is always a work of mercy. No matter how harsh the prophet is, it's mercy. Better to hear it now than hereafter. And of course, we need right now, as we're watching our civilization deteriorate, we need to be a prophetic church, preaching the truth out of love, which means clearly. Okay. He said to me, you are my servant. In you, Israel, I show my glory. Now that text actually is better translated, as I'm going to try to show you now. You see, he's saying to this person, you are Israel. He's not saying all of Israel is a prophet. Because later on in the text, he's going to be gathering the people of Israel together. No, it's that the reality and the vocation of Israel is distilled in this prophet, you see? And so, in you, who are Israel, I show my glory. Okay. Now, he said to me, the servant talks, though I thought I had toiled in vain, for nothing and for naught spent my strength, yet my right is with the Lord, my recompense is with my God. And so, these are lines I'm reading you now that are part of the oracle, but they're not in the reading for the day, they are in the reading for the day. I made a mistake. Good. For now the Lord has spoken and formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him and Israel gathered to him. And now we understand the role of prophecy, to bring God's people back to God. Do they foretell the future? Yes. Not all the time. But all of this, as this prophet is describing it, you see, he's describing a servant to come. And he puts these words in this coming servant's mouth so that people will recognize him when he comes, you see. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him and Israel gathered to him. You see, I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. This is important to realize, huh? Because we may not all be prophets, but there may be prophetic moments in our life when we have to speak the truth, and God will be our strength. We have to see, you know, some of the problems that we're having right now relating to the government. We have to speak the truth. We cannot support abortion and contraception, and we can't do it because it's wrong. Now, that often happens in this world, that our enemies, or at least our opponents, draw the line in the sand. And we have to say, we won't go over that line. Oh my gosh, we're prophetic. Whoever wanted to be prophetic? I just wanted to have a nice, quiet life. But it doesn't happen. And so, it's important to realize that this prophetic vocation is wedded to love for the truth. That's what it's all wedded to. To build up, to preserve, to strengthen God's people. And in the process, to look to see the completion of God's plan. And in that sense, the book of Revelation, you see, which at the end is talking about the new heaven and the new earth, that's a prophetic vision. Why? To strengthen us. To encourage us. Don't get tired, church. You're on your way to an eternity with God. You will be the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to meet your spouse, the incarnate Word of God, forever. So don't get tired. It reminds me of a line I think I've already quoted to a friend of mine, a lovely man, a Palestinian Christian man who founded this home for a halfway house for prisoners. Palestinian, Israeli, whatever. They were all there. And it was the talk of northern Israel. It was in Haifa. Well, he got sick. And with cancer of the prostate, actually died young, 45 or so. I was there one day, and I said to him, I came over from the States to visit him, and I said, Camille, kif halak? Camille, how's it going? And he said, Abuna, Father, I don't pray to get healed. I don't pray not to get healed. See? I just pray I won't get tired believing. That's a prophet. And he was a prophetic figure. What he did to unite the Palestinians and Israeli together, because, like so many of our modern prophets, he cared for the poor. He cared for the guys who were getting out of jail. Got them back on their feet, gave them their dignity, and taught them how to get along with each other. And so, when he was sick, he just said, I just pray I won't get tired believing. Now, I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. Now, obviously, he's talking to this servant to come. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. There do you see the mercy of God? Yes, I love you, Israel, but my plans are that through you the whole world will be blessed, and we are in Christ, who is this servant, who is this prophet to come. You see? And so that is this prophetic understanding, and the church gives it to us to help us understand who John the Baptist is. He is a prophet in this line. He suffered, he was opposed, and finally he was martyred. But he introduced the Messiah to the world, and he prepared the people to receive him. And that's his gift. So, the church takes Psalm 139, which is a psalm of God's total knowledge. And in that sense, it's the prophet praying back to God, O Lord, you have probed me, and you know me. You know when I sit and stand, you understand my thoughts from afar. You sift through my travels and my rest, and all my ways with you are familiar. And so you see, this prophet is saying, this psalmist, you see, Ataya Dati, Shifti Rakuni. You know when I rest, you know when I rise. You see? You understand my thoughts, Mirahok, from a distance. You know everything about me. Now that, you see, is this knowledge, this prophetic understanding of who God is, that we take as this psalm to celebrate this feast of John the Baptist, you see, who is the last and greatest of the prophets. And then the translation is interesting. My paths and my ways and so forth. It translated, you sift through my travels and my rest. With all my ways you are familiar. Now this is a great consolation, isn't it? Why are we trying to hide anything from God? He's the only thing, only person who can do anything about it. I got this big black sin. I'm just not going to talk to God about it. You think he's surprised? He doesn't know about it? You know? It's like Therese. I've told you this before, but it's so beautiful. Somebody said to her, what would you do? You had just committed a really bad sin. What would you do? She said, I'd run straight to God the Father. Where else could I go? That's the theme of this psalm, you see. So you formed the adaptation for the liturgy skips from verse down to verse 13 from verse 3. You formed my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My very self, you know, is the way they translate that line. My very self, you know. You know my being, you know myself, you know everything about me, you see. That's a consolation, isn't it? I can give up trying to fool God. It'll never happen. So confess my sins, accept his love, and get on with it. That's a prophet. I praise you because I'm wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. It's everything about that. My eyes work. My ears work. I can walk. I can think because I'm wonderfully made. My bones are not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, fashioned in the depths of the earth, that's a very Hebrew way of looking at the mother's womb. You see? You see it in Job. You know, I came from the womb and I go to the womb, the earth. And it's kind of the earth to receive us for a while until the Lord comes back and then he raises us. And then we are really wonderfully made. Even in our bodies we are wonderfully made because we are made to conform to the body of his glory and to be kept alive forever by the presence in us, the infinite life in us of the Trinity. I praise you because I'm wonderfully made. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm really handsome or I'm whatever, you know, or I'm a great athlete. It means I am capable of you. The ages had this phrase, homo capax Dei. Man is capable of God because God has made us so. That's why we're wonderfully made, that we are capable of God. Now, to know him and to love him, to relate to him and rejoice in him, and forever to have his being the very reason why we live and move and have our being forever. Amen.